So the question is, how does the Sabbath fit into the new covenant? The new covenant is based on faith, not on law. But we know that faith produces good works. Faith leads us to God, love our neighbors. Tithing, again, is an expression of love to God and love for all who hear the gospel that our tithes support. Faith leads us to love God. Faith should want us to spend more time with Him in prayer and in study. Faith and love leads us to spend more time with one another, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, but exhorting and encouraging one another in love and in good works. Does the Sabbath give us spiritual benefits? Hello? Yes? You all agree with that? You bet it does. It's not a trick question. The Sabbath gives us spiritual benefits. Absolutely. Not only do we benefit physically from the weekly rest, but we benefit spiritually. From time to time, that's devoted to God, we should forsake. Should we forsake the spiritual benefit? Oh, that's ridiculous. Should we use all of our time for our own pleasures simply because now we don't find the Sabbath under the new covenant? No. A Christian should want more time devoted to God, not less. So you see where the spiritual implication of this is required. The Sabbath is a blessing. We rejoice in it. We don't want to give up a good thing. But we do need to understand that there are changes in the way the Sabbath is presented into the New Testament from the role that it played in the Old. That's all. We're just unshackling ourselves from some of the burdens that were required from the Old Covenant. Now let's look at how Jesus taught us about the Sabbath by example. First, we note that Jesus kept the Sabbath. He himself was born under the Old Covenant. He kept the law. He never sinned. When Jesus lived, the Old Covenant was still in force, and so he lived by the terms of the Old Covenant. That meant he did Old Covenant things like killing lambs at Passover time, supporting temple activities with his tithes, telling cleansed lepers to make offerings according to the law of Moses. He kept the Feast of Dedication and other Jewish customs. And he was circumcised. In other words, he was perfect in all the laws of the Old Covenant. Even the laws that the apostles came to see were no longer binding after Jesus was crucified and resurrected. A new covenant came in after Jesus' death and resurrection and not before it. Jesus did not argue with the Pharisees about whether to keep the Sabbath. But he certainly argued about how to keep, how to observe it. And it should not be a yoke of bondage due to our misunderstanding. Compared to the Pharisees, Jesus was an extreme liberal. The Pharisees had rules against healing on the Sabbath, but Jesus made a point of healing on the Sabbath. Specifically, and for a specific purpose. He could have easily done his healing in any other way. He could have easily promised the people that they would be healed at sundown. He didn't choose to do it that way. He healed them on the Sabbath for our benefits, because that was a great day for liberating people from bondage, whether it was spiritual sin or physical bondage. The Old Covenant told people not to collect food on the Sabbath, based on Exodus 20:10, prohibits Sabbath work, under threat of being stoned to death. Where do we see that under the New Covenant? Not there. But Jesus defended the right of his disciples to pick grain on the Sabbath. In Mark 2, we see what he said in verse 23. He says, "One Sabbath Jesus was walking through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, 'Look, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?' And he answered, 'Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need?'" He came up with that answer for a logical reason for our understanding today, showing us that when there is a humanitarian need, that those things often supersede it what was required. In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, David entered into the house of God, ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priests to eat. And he also gave some of it to his companions. So they broke into the temple, which was unlawful. They stole, which was unlawful. Jesus did not deny that the disciples were working on the Sabbath. He didn't deny it. He didn't try to make excuses. Instead, he pointed out that David himself had broken one of God's holiness laws and that it was okay to do it under certain circumstances. Taking care of hunger is more important than keeping such strict taboos that were forced on us due to our lack of understanding and our spiritual ignorance. The letter of the law was broken, but that was okay because a more important principle of the law was being kept. That's what Christ was concerned about. There was an important human need. David had an emergency, but the disciples didn't seem to have any such emergency. His disciples were just a little hungry, and that's about all. But the point was that they didn't need to make a fetish out of avoiding activity on the Sabbath. Verse 27, then Jesus said to the Pharisees, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus, as God in the flesh, had authority over the Sabbath. He had the right to interpret what it meant and how it should be kept or observed. And again, it imposes an awesome responsibility on the self to see how we're going to justify our excuses rather than legitimate reasons. Here he said that the Sabbath was given to benefit human beings. Absolutely. So we see this principle in action. Humanitarian needs are more important than sticking to a strict interpretation of rules. Just like one of our former ministers was preaching a sermon, and many of these sort of sermons were given over the years in the different church areas. I just couldn't believe it. Giving a sermon on how the Sabbath is to be observed, he said that if someone has an accident in front of your house and is in need of emergency help and they come to your door, you should tell them politely that this is your Sabbath. Would you go next door? But if no one is home, y'all come back. What individual in his right mind is going to go back to that door? Huh? Jesus often healed on the Sabbath. There again, a humanitarian need was more important than Sabbath rules. That's what he's showing us. But we ought to know the difference. Not justify our excuses. They should be bona fide, legitimate reasons and purposes. In the past, we've been too strict with this. Sometimes we wouldn't even allow someone to work on into the Sabbath as they were performing a service toward other human beings. There again, you need to evaluate the difference. And when you shouldn't feel guilty to offer that kind of help and remain working. They had to give up their jobs if they wanted to be members of the church. That is not what God commanded. That is not what He requires of us. They aren't healing like Jesus was, but they are taking care of humanitarian needs. That is greater in the eyes of God. An expression of real loving concern and service toward your fellow human being. Needs that in many cases are more urgent than even hunger. I know that our motives were good in what we did in the past. We learned from these things, even in spite of the hardships. All things work for the good. I'm not condemning anything. But I'm saying that we should use these as stepping stones to increase our understanding and our walk with God. We want to uphold the importance of obeying God. I'm not saying we're looking for loopholes and excuses. That puts every one of us on our honor before God in a much greater way. We took His command seriously, and that is good. But sometimes it seems as if the Sabbath were more important than human lives. Or the Sabbath was more important than expressing love and faith in Christ. We looked at the external instead of the internal. We meant well, but now we can change because God has led us to a deeper understanding of the covenant. Have I said so far we should make excuses to justify why we can't be at Sabbath services? We have church members who, because of circumstances, some cases beyond their control, other times because of negligence, carelessness on their part, and everything else, are so far in debt that the church had to bail them out to the tune of $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 that they had charged up on their credit cards. Been out of work for 2 years. Came to the church for financial assistance. Received some and then was told, that's as long as far as you're going to go. And yet could not find a job. And went out every day, diligently trying to find work, couldn't find any. Is that man sinning if he has to work on the Sabbath temporarily until such time as he can keep a roof over his family's head? Is that what God wants? That shows how great the Christians we are. We allow our families to suffer needlessly, be kicked out from their homes. The Sabbath was a sign of the old covenant with Israel. Faith in Christ and the Spirit of God, if you're looking for a sign, is a sign between the servants of God today. It is not the sign of the new covenant of the blood of Christ. The sign of the new covenant is faith in Christ and the bread and wine, which are the symbols of that covenant. Consequently, the way the Sabbath is to be observed under the new covenant